All right. I know that I'm turning 70, but really now. Better. Who said that? Yeah, better than a walk. Okay, yes, it is. Oh, my goodness. I don't know who did this. Oh, guess. Oh, it's like a radar. Yeah. Pardon? What's that? Turn it around? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there you go. So it's positive instead of negative. Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't want to. There we go. Yeah. I can reach around some people's little necks. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Aren't we funny? Such a sense of humor. Oh, my goodness. I didn't have much sense of humor when I was up at the truck stop trying to, I'm thinking, and Ronnie specifically said, now be here early enough and saying, talk to everybody, be here early. And I'm up there and I'm thinking of those words, Ronnie. Yeah, be here early so you can be putting air in your tire at the truck stop and junction of all places. But anyway, it all worked out. And I was, just this message, I was trying to think, I changed the title several times. So I believe I landed with just serving God. Is that what I came up with? Yeah. Serving God, and I had all kinds, serving the living God. We're going to talk about serving God. And it's not a negative thing. People say, oh, put more burdens on us than we can bear. No, I don't like, we never do that. But we bring the word. We don't water it down. Just tell it like it is. There's two places I want to give you. I'm going to share two passages. And one in the New Testament, one in the Old, one in Hebrews, way over in Joshua. It's about serving the Lord. And we're going to talk about some things we have to deal with to be able to serve Him. They're, in a sense, can become our enemies. And we'll get to that in a moment. Let's read these passages. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews is a little tough to understand in some places. And it just gets a little more complicated with Jewish law versus Christian grace. And you kind of shake your head a little. But hopefully this won't be too much of that. And I didn't know where to start here. Please read this chapter. I cut it down, as you know, constantly. And I have to, condense. But this is important. And it talks about, it's not through the blood of goats and calves, all the Old Testament offerings that we are saved, that we're cleansed. And he talks about Christ appearing as the high priest. And then it moves in, for if the blood of bulls and goats and bulls, and we forget all this. We forget our history. Because at one time, it was a major process. And you had to have the blood of a bull and goat to be spilled to atone for your sins. And there never was complete cleansing. And living in those Old Testament days, that wouldn't have been fun for me. And for all these regulations, and then as it moved along in time, you got your good old Pharisee crowd, your big high religious crowd, and they add so many of their man-made doctrines to God's word that you couldn't even, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how people did it. Everything you did was wrong. It didn't make any difference. And anyway, so he moves into this verse. I want to get verse 13 and 14, and we'll go over to Joshua real quick. It says, if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh. See, that was it. It wasn't the heart. It was cleansing of the flesh. But anyway, how much more, he says. So that's what he's making, this comparison contrast. He said, if that did a decent job of cleansing for the flesh and making presentable before the Lord, and he's saying, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And the key here, yes, what Jesus has done, and he's cleansed us, he's cleansed our conscience to do what? And this is where there seems to be a lot of times a little glitch in Christianity. We don't stress the serving part. We all want to be cleansed, and there's many, you know, you can hear them on TV this morning, and they're talking about, you know, you'll be cleansed, but what about the other part? What did he cleanse you for? He didn't cleanse you just to go in your own way and live your own life. And that happens all too often. He cleansed you, and he tells you here, this is not some made up thing. He says he cleansed you from your conscience from dead works to do what? And he spells it out, to serve the living God. Jesus said, I didn't shed my blood for nothing. I shed it so that you would have an atoning for your sins when you put your faith in me and repent of your sins. But what? There's something to that. You know, a lot of us have heard all of our lives. Just accept Jesus in your heart and confess your sins, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. That's great. But we need to finish that part. It will cleanse you and do all that to set you apart. That's holy, to set you apart to God so you can do what? So you can serve him. He doesn't save you to just go out here and then do your own thing. He saves you to draw you closer and to be a servant to him, to honor him. Our whole life is to be that way. This isn't a burden, but it's treated that way. I was listening to, you know, got up earlier this morning not knowing I was going to jerk handles off the truck and all that kind of stuff and have low tires. But so I had some time, and I was watching a guy that I kind of like, you know, that brings some good messages. But I thought, come on, take us a little deeper. And he was not quite into the serving thing, but, you know, the blood of Jesus and all this. And what is it for? It's to free you to do what? To be right with God, to serve God. It's like, go the whole thing. Don't just make people feel good, but also show us what we're here to do. That's why some of you are wandering around, don't know what your purpose is. Your purpose is spelled out in Scripture. You're here to serve God. Now find out what your gifting is. Look, read the Word, and ask God to show you, and get with it. Do what you're gifted to do. He's given you natural talents, and then he's given you spiritual gifts. Hey, use them for God's glory. So now we've got that in mind. Then we'll go over to Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. And I love these. I love these. People say, I love something. I really like these passages. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. See, serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. You say, well, okay, that was back then. They're your forefathers. You're the wild olive branch, and when you ask Jesus in your heart, you're grafted into that vine, and these people are your kinfolks. This is your spiritual family. And he said, if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. You know this passage. You're familiar with it. Do we know it? And he says, so if you don't like that, that's what he's saying. And if you don't agree with that, then you choose for yourselves who you're going to serve. Choose today. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which are beyond the river, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a bold, bold proclamation. And he's making this to the people saying, I want you to make up your minds before we go a step further. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve these gods of these people. We're in their land right now, and we're going to conquer some more, a whole bunch more. God has led us to do that. You're going to go back to Egypt and worship all that stuff? You did it once already. See, he's calling them out on their own failings. What happened when Moses went up on the mount to receive the Ten Commandments? Before he can even get back down, they built a golden calf and were worshiping the gods of Egypt again. And they, you know, it's like, seriously? God, you prayed for, what, 400 years to be freed from slavery in Egypt? He opens the Red Sea, you walk across on dry land, you do all this, and then Moses leaves you for just a little bit, and you're already fouled up. You know why? Listen to me. Because this bothers a lot of us now. It affects us. We don't even realize it. Friends, God can deliver you and set you free with the blood of Jesus. But in your mind, in your memory, there's battles to fight. You've still got those old gods that you're going to have to give to Him. And they call out to you, serve me, serve me, serve me. And they compete all the time. These people were freed, but they still had a want, a slave mentality. They could not conceive of themselves as freed people. And so they would willingly put themselves back into slavery to a foreign god. I mean, he built a golden calf like that's going to do something for you. But that's what they were they'd been born into. They'd been slaves 400 years. And friends, let me ask you something. You're sitting here today and you've asked Jesus in your heart. And you know the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all sin. And your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. But do you have a slave mentality? Is there something that keeps drawing you back to the same old habits? And it's time to let God set you free. What are you serving? You're thinking alcohol, drugs, pornography, homemade ice cream, chocolate cake, cookies. What are you serving? Your temper? Your cussing? Your anger? I mean, what are you serving? What's got you that you still have a slave mentality to, and God wants to set you free? You got to decide. We read this, and what He's calling them to do is saying, decide who you're going to serve. And that's where we go in this message today. You're going to have to learn to. You're just going to have to choose who you will serve, or choose what you will serve. And you say, and all of us immediately our response in the spirit is to say, we're going to serve the Lord just like the people did. But I already hit on some things. It's like, what are the things now that cries out, serve me, serve me, serve me? And the first thing that I listed here, because we struggle with it, is self. Self, yourself. My own self wants to be served. I want to take care of me. I want everything to work for me. I want to come to church and God do something for me. Right? It's hard not to be honest with yourself. You come to church and you want God to do something for you. And the whole concept is to offer yourself to Him and praise Him. This is the time we come together and offer Him praise and glory. We thank Him for what He's done for me all week long, for us all week long. But self gets in the way. And you say, what exactly? Well, how much time do you spend giving your opinion to everybody else and thinking that they ought to abide by it? No, not you. No, okay. There's an honest people over here. Sometimes I'm afraid to ask anything. I'm thinking, please, oh, they'll hold their hands up. We don't want to know that. But I want to thank you. That's very honest. Anybody else? How strong is your opinion? Do you put it on others? Okay. But we do. Yeah, we'll fight over our opinion. And this is the way I want it. This is the way you ought to do it. And this is the way everybody ought to look. What about your looks? You got problems with your looks? You didn't notice it because I've been working on it, but there's a little place come up here on my nose. Now, I shouldn't have said that. Everybody in here is going to be going, you won't hear another thing I said. Dad shouldn't have said that. But anyway, and I had to put some, I'm so vain, I put some little cream on it, you know. Anyway, but you know what bothered me about it? I was brushing my hair, and the hairbrush just happened to hit that little spot, just a little spot. And it started bleeding. Well, the dermatologist already told me, he said, if there's any place, a little bump or anything that comes up on you and you touch it, it starts bleeding, you need to come and see me. And I thought, that's just what I want, for them to put a divot in the top of my nose. So I'm already, and I'm praying that won't happen, but I have to see him next Monday, and it's like he's going to put a divot, a golf green divot right there. I know it's going to happen. And it's like, it may not happen. But what I'm saying is, you see how anything like that with your looks? It's like, hey, if you're turning 70, what's a divot? I mean, at this age, we're getting furrows. So what's a divot? I mean, we just look pretty plowed over, don't we? And so who cares anymore? We do the best we can, but we get obsessed with our looks. And look at all the TV commercials. My Lord, you know, put this cream under your eyes. Have you seen that one? This is that. What's everybody talking about? And you know, and all this, they say that. What's everybody talking about? I thought I hadn't heard anybody talk about this. But they got the before and after picture. My Lord, those are the worst before pictures I've ever seen. It's like, you know, that they must put something on them to make them look that bad as a before picture. And then they squeeze this cucumber juice or whatever it is on you, and in 10 minutes, you know, you're walking down the modeling. How does that work? It's just, you know, and we're taught to be obsessed with our looks and be concerned about the clothes we wear, all this garbage. Yeah, we want to look nice. We want to look like the people that God called us to look like, whatever that is for you. Decency. Things that draw attention to the Lord, not always to yourself. But let me ask you something here. What else do you serve with self? I can't stay long on this because, you know, we got to move on. We're going to have fun today. But we got to have this message. And it's like these things are competing all the time. And when it comes to self, not only do we have to worry about our opinions and impose them on others and worry about our looks and the need to control. Do you have to control everything? Do you just get all upset if things aren't going the way you want it to? That usually is tied in with your opinion. No, you got to have an opinion and I want it this way. You know, well, who died and elected you? Right? But we get that way. If things in the house, you want things a certain way, and somebody comes in your house and they move something, does that aggravate anybody? Okay, yeah, it doesn't take much. They sit in your chair and you didn't ask them to. You sit down at the dining table. Does it gripe you sometimes you've got your chair? You know, right? Now, guys, most of us, I do. I've got my chair. Some people just come in and sit in your chair. And you just want to, you know, I thought of putting rollers on it where I could just scoot them around the other side and say, that's okay, you sit over here. We have those things and we get, you see, what are we serving? By the way, do you serve the church? Church is an instrument, a means of serving God. See, how do you serve God except through God's people, right? You help his people. That's how you serve him. So you do it through the church. But is church, serving the church, bigger than serving God? We've all seen that, haven't we? If you've ever been in certain places and churches where they're so hung up on procedure, methodology, and then they serve that. They don't even know it. They're captives to that methodology or that doctrine of that church or denomination. And here we're all denominational, but even we have to watch it. We don't want to be serving something we do here. We don't have all that methodology down, that the best of everything. We do the best we know how. We do it the way we're led to do it, right? But we can't serve that. You don't serve anything on this earth. But you need to check yourself once in a while. See, am I a controller? If things aren't the way I think they are to be, it just upsets me. If somebody sits in my chair, if somebody does this or that, in the long term, who cares? Only you. Are you a fault finder? Is that your God? Finding fault with people? Let me ask you something. Is there anybody on earth that lives up to your expectations? Can anybody live up to our expectations? I can't even live up to what God expects of me, can you? And he's full of grace and mercy and love. I can't live up to everybody else's stuff. That's why when somebody comes to me and says, you know, well, you need to do this, need to do that, you know, they think they're winning and they're losing because it's like, I'm not perfect. I can't, if I start doing this and this, I just do the best I can under what I believe God leads me. That's why you got to live, friends. Not according to the way some church taught you or anything, but what this word says, that's what you do. The best you know how. Anyway, what about recognition? One more thing. Are you serving being recognized? I mean, if you come here on a Sunday morning and you don't get hugged, does it bother you? I've been chastised in the past, way back in the past. I get busy. Somebody grabs me before I can get around. I try to go around and see everybody. I hope I didn't miss too many of you. And I try to do it, but I miss someone. And they got in my face about it. They really let me have it that I was slighting them. And it's like, wow, okay, I'm so sorry. You know, I'll hug you next week. But was my heart in it? Let me ask you, was my heart in it? No. No. My heart wanted to, you know, anyway. My point is this. We're here for God. Let God hug you. And if you get missed or something, or there's some little thing, talk to God about it and see what he does. Don't you trust him? So that's enough. You know, choose who you serve. Is it yourself and all these things? And what about people and their opinion? You care what others think of you? You care what they say about you? If we're real honest, there's a little bit of us that does care. At least a little bit. You'd think after I've done this, been doing this, what, over 40 years? That it wouldn't bother me what somebody thinks. And it doesn't for long, but it does at the moment. You know, somebody will say something, it's like, well, and yeah. And it's like, but you can't make that your God. What about people's approval? Is there somebody in your family that you just, their approval means everything to you? I'm not saying that the approval of a husband or a wife towards the other or children is not important, but does it mean more than God? And it's just, this is just a check, you know, just kind of check yourself, whom you're serving. And if it's not God first, I mean, God's opinion of you should be of the highest. That's it. It's what God thinks of me. And if you get that right, when somebody's opinion of you is not very high, it won't matter. What matters is what God thinks of you. Hey, he died for you. He rose again for you. He really likes you. He loves you. What about, you know, anyway, being acknowledged and all this other stuff, with the things that we worry about with people, who cares? Maybe you just got to get a certain age with enough experience and you can finally start saying, who cares? I don't care. You know, listen for the moment. And so what about things? Any of you have trouble with things? Serving things? I just realized today, you know, how easy you can be serving your vehicle. Really. Your tailgate handle breaks off, you got a low tire, and you're just consumed with that, right? I was, all the way to town. Just consumed with it. And it's like how easily we're drawn into stuff. Just put some air in it. I'll get a screwdriver and reach in there. There's a little plate and you can push it and we'll, you know, we'll get that thing down. I'll get one ordered. You know, there's a way to do something. You know, or you can do the Tony thing and just get real mad at it and break it. I mean, you know, whatever. Wired up baling wire. There's some way to do it. Now, what about circumstances? Are circumstances controlling you? Are you serving circumstances? Is that your excuse? I don't want to drive this too far. Listen. Many, many of God's people are saying, it's not my fault. The circumstances. Stuff happened to me. Had a bad marriage. Had a bad childhood. Whatever it is. How long will you continue to serve those circumstances? How long will they be your God? When are you going to let Jesus Christ come in there and heal you of that and be your God instead of what happened to you? I'm going to ask a real personal thing here, two personal things, okay? How many of you have ever been hurt by church? Okay. How many have ever been hurt by a pastor? Okay. When are you going to let it go? Let it go. Yeah, and I'm not picking on you. And I've pastored all these years, and I have been so hurt by churches. I have. There's a church or two. I don't even want to, if you know, sometimes people pass away and they want, you know, Pastor Tony, come do, and it's like, I don't want to go there. You don't want to do their funeral? I don't want to go in that place. We've been hurt, and well, some of the worst pain in the world is be hurt by a church. Isn't it? Be hurt by a pastor. And what I'm saying to you, you've got to let that go. I carry things. I'm still letting stuff go. The meanness, the rudeness, because it catches you off guard. You don't expect it to happen in the church. Then it dawns on you, what did Jesus say about the wheat and the tares? That's what he's talking about. There's God's people and the devil's people, and they go to church together. I'm not saying any of you are the devil, okay, but you know what I mean. Don't go out of there saying, Pastor said I was of the devil. No, but he said the wheat and the tares grow together. What else did he mean? And God's going to separate them. His angels will come, and they'll separate them at the end. But he said, in the meantime, they grow together. And that's why he said, by their fruit, you'll know them. So if you've been hurt, I want you to know, I'm with you. But you got to keep going, and you can't serve it, and you can't serve the circumstances. And as a kid, and you don't have to raise a hand or anything, were any of you abused as a kid? Somebody hurt you? And that's one of the hardest things to ever let go, but you got to. Because there's a God here that deserves to be served. And I can tell you this, he did not tell someone to hurt you. They disobeyed him and they did it. And they're going to pay for that. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. And don't you forget it. And there's some in other places right now, they think in high places where they're immune to the Lord, and that applies to everybody, everywhere, no matter position. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay, and justice is coming. Just keep that in mind, whatever it is. So let's move on. Just remember this, all these things we've named here, the self, people, things, circumstances, money, kids, the devil uses all of them to mess up our lives. And don't let him. When you see it happening, when you get alone, maybe you're in the shower, you're doing whatever you do, and all of a sudden those thoughts come back and start taking you back to that horrid thing that happened, that's when you give it right there. God help me, I'm going back to that. I'm trying to serve it. My mind's trying to serve it. My heart's trying to go back and give to it. No. I am here. And you go back to this Joshua thing. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. God, I will not let what's happened to me ever take place. Precedence over you. Amen. By the way, just a note. For you to go higher with God, for you to think higher, you're going to have to what? Decide you want to go higher. Ask him to take you above all this stuff. Don't be brought down by it. You with me? Set your sights high. To hit high. Today, they got all these rifle scopes and stuff, and you dial in and range compensation and all that. And that's great if you like that stuff. I grew up in the old ways. And you learn how to hold over to hit a target. You held higher to hit the target so it would drop into it, okay? You say, that's a heck of an illustration. Well, I know, everybody doesn't shoot and all that, but here's the point. We're shooting for something higher. You're going to have to aim higher if you plan to hit higher. Don't aim so low with the attitude and with what's happened to you. Go high. Just like Colossians says, set your mind on things above. Get high with it. Stay high. And when you start to come low, stop. God help me. Pull me up there. I've got to set my mind on you. I've got to think about the things of heaven, not the stuff that's happened on this earth. If this will help you any, we've all had stuff happen to us. Everybody here has pain. We just, a lot of times, don't admit it all. But everybody hurts. Everybody suffers. And by the way, a little bump come up on us, or we feel something in our chest, or we push, and there's a little we worry. All of us do. You know why? Because we're human, and we're frail. And we have a God that understands that. Just don't let it be obsessive to you. Give it to him and move on. We ought to close. Let's do this. You got to choose to serve only the Lord. And don't let all this other stuff keep pulling you down. You got to refuse to be conformed to this world. I was thinking today of all the new language that we're supposed to learn. We have a whole new English language. It doesn't even make sense. People laugh at me. Got a kid right back here. I still call her kid. She's not, but she laughs at me all the time. You know, she'll say something. I say, "What's that?" You know, other day, it was a few days ago. I asked you, "What's gaslighting?" We didn't use that. How many of you grew up with gaslight? You know, they're gaslight. What was the other one you had to correct me on? Some other term, and I said, "What is that?" You know, "Oh, they're blowing me up." You know, what does that mean? You're blowing me up. You're gaslighting me. I grew up and just said it like it was. You didn't use these terms. You said, "Hey, that's a load of bull. I don't believe it." That's not politically correct anymore. You got to speak nice, right? "Oh, you're gaslighting me. It's just bull." You know, "You're blowing me up." You know, what do we say to that? "Get out of my face." Right? You don't say those, you know, I mean, really. The whole thing, and it's like, sometimes, friends, you can refuse to be conformed to this world. How do you preach the Word of God? How do you believe this right here, this book, and be politically correct? Better decide. You can't be both. This calls it like it is. So you're going to call it what the Bible calls it. You're going to call it what somebody else tells you to call it. And see, that's what God said. Whom are you going to serve? You're going to serve society and its new norms and its terms, or you're going to serve me? And just say it like it is. We don't have to be rude with it, but what? All right, you can let somebody gaslight you and blow you up. Romans 12 says this. He says, I encourage you, I urge you, in the view of God's mercy, this won't be up here, I just want to add this, to offer your bodies what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You just jot this down. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Are you hearing this? You know what he's saying in modern language? You don't have to play the games of the world. You don't conform to the pattern of this world. Just because they say this is the thing, you follow this. This is what the thing is. It's our only thing. You do not have to be conformed. Somebody says a new style. Now, let me tell you something real quick. This is my soapbox. I'm going to step on it. It slides once in a while. I got to be careful. This is my soapbox. I get on this because this is when Tony wants to give his stinking old opinion and nothing else. I don't like it, and I know, and I do it. I wear this because it fit in, but your shirt hanging out. Okay? I just feel sloppy when I wear, you know, my shirts hanging out. We were taught to put them in. And I realize it lets you have a bigger belly, nobody sees it. But when you don't button your shirt, it's hanging in, you know, the tail of the shirt. At least, I've got to order some of those shirts that's just straight around. The tail hangs down almost to your knees. And it's like, I just feel like I'm flapping in the wind. A big wind come up, I'm going to blow away. But, you know, that really, think about it. That is a thing of the world. It's like, well, you want to be in fashion and style? Maybe, maybe not. Is it that important? And then you have to ask yourself, am I doing it just because, okay, I just want to do it? Or am I serving this? Do you realize somebody somewhere thought that up? And they start pushing it, and then it becomes the thing. And I'm not saying don't go, you know, don't tuck. You wear your shirts like you want them, but I'm just saying I don't want to have to do it. Do you? I don't want to have to do that. Don't be conformed to the world. And don't let your feelings be used of the enemy. Do any of you let your feelings get in? How do I need to say that? Your feelings ever get in the way of the Lord and His will? Okay, thank you. Anybody else? You ever speak because of feelings and then wish you hadn't have been, and then you're feeling really bad that you had the feelings that you spoke about? In other words, do your lips ever get away from you? Okay. You know, James talks about that. You ever thought about, really, there's a time to give that to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to control my mouth. I want you to remind me, Lord, that what I'm about to say is coming from feelings and opinion and all that. We all do it. We all do it. God is God, and we're here to serve the Lord. And I'm closing. I'm through. Just allow yourself to experience God His way. And I guess as we close, I need to say this, because the Lord really worked on me on this one, this closing statement. Would you let God out of your box? Quit telling God He has to answer your prayers the way you think He ought to answer them. Somebody says, quote Isaiah this, or you need to quote the Psalms and God will do this. God, won't you let Him out of the box and let Him be God? And by the way, why don't you let people out of your little box? Everybody doesn't need to be doing what you want them to do. Let them be God's people. You're looking at me funny. We get this paradigm, you know, of how God's supposed to be. Somebody told us that. Or we went to a bunch of training or whatever and they said, God does this. When you read the scripture, it says God is spirit and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. He can show up whenever He wants and do whatever He wants. Why don't you let Him? Why don't you let Him work some miracles in your life? Just quit expecting Him to do it this way and let Him do it His way. And by the way, you'll like people a lot better if you just let God work through them His way instead of expecting people to fit in your little box. Open it up. Let Him come out. And by the way, won't you come out of your own box? Won't you be like Peter out there in the storm? That's the finest example I know of getting out of your box. When he said, Lord, if it's you, let me walk to you on the water. Friends, why don't you step out of where it's safe and just take a risk with God in faith? He did. And then he looked around the waves. There'll be a message on that one of these days. I brought it before, but he started sinking. Did Jesus let him drown? No. He honored the fact that that boy was ready to crawl out of that boat and come walking to him. He's the only human-sized Jesus ever walked on water that I know of. We forget he did walk on the water. So can you. So what? No, I don't mean go out to the river and see if you can do it. There's some water right there by your house you need to walk on in faith. There's some things you need to get out of your little box, your boat, and start walking. And watch what God can do. Don't just talk about it. Do it. He's a great big God, and so choose this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And I'll add this to it. For myself. And God, when I'm not serving you, would you convict me of it and put me back on the right path that my life will be consistently pleasing to you? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for every person here. This is not a group. Each person is a unique person and special to you, Lord. With special needs and special concerns and special things that we didn't even address today. But God, you know. And all together, we're the body of Christ worshiping you. But as individuals come in here, we come with our own insecurities, our own worries, our own hurts and pains and stuff that wants it cries out to serve it. And God, this day, work a great work. And get our minds up higher. Help us to shoot higher, aim higher, live higher than we were when we came in here. Even if it's just a little bit, it's a start. God, forgive us. Help us. Lead us, guide us, and direct us that we live according to your word, your will. And when we don't, thank you that your grace is sufficient. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.